your name?
It's Shanta Driver.
And your organization?
It's the Coalition to Defend Affirmative Action, Integration, Immigrant Rights, and Fight for Equality by Any Means Necessary, and it's known as BAM.
Shanta Driver, you were speaking, you've marched and protested and spoke out against what's happening to education. What brings you to D.C. this weekend?
Our organization spearheaded the march that we're holding here today and have been organizing for it for the last several weeks. And what we found is that there is tremendous popular sentiment to defend public education and to hold on to it as a right. But there isn't clarity among many, many people about what is happening to that right now. And we wanted to start organizing and gathering people who are fighting in their local communities to hold on to public education, teachers, students, parents, community activists, to come to Washington, to come as one, to be the beginning, the core of a more national movement to defend public education.
It was fascinating listening to you talk about what's happening in various parts of the country. Let's start with Los Angeles.
Yeah, I think in Los Angeles we've seen a real fight to try to prevent charter schools from coming into that city. And it's the second largest school district in the country. And just to give a little bit of background, I got involved with the Los Angeles School District when there was a proposal brought by Ward Connerly, a person who has been an opponent of affirmative action, to end that school district's now 30-year-old school desegregation program that has created magnet schools throughout Los Angeles. 100,000 students attend them. They are a successful model of achievement based on integration that have provided Latino and Black students with tremendous educational opportunity. We fought to defend those programs. I was one of the lawyers in that case representing the students. We beat the attempt to end that desegregation program and won the right to have many, many, many new schools that were built to be opened as magnet schools under the Bush administration. After the last election, we find ourselves now in the position of seeing those programs being attacked by the Obama administration, and specifically an attempt to take away those brand new schools that have built and been built in Los Angeles, beautiful schools to serve the Latino and Black communities of Los Angeles, an attempt to give those over to private charter companies. And we were able to fight and stop this fall just by getting a few strong students and teachers and parents to stand up and walk out and protest and demonstrate and join marches in September and October and November and carry out citywide petition campaigns at football games and through churches and at family reunions and just every possible event that we could hit. We managed to succeed in stopping that from happening. But we know we're going to face that same attack again next year and the year after that and the year after that if we can't build something on a national basis to prevent this attempt to eviscerate public education as a right.
You mentioned that charter schools were founded after the 1954 Brown versus the Board of Education decision that integrated schools. And then you talked about how they're being used today in Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama. Can you talk about that?
I can. I mean, the first charter school movement in the United States was started from the Virginia Massive Resistance Campaign, which was a campaign to defeat the desegregation order of Brown versus Board of Education. And it was local, white, racist organizing to create charter schools throughout the South that would be private schools, publicly funded, and that wouldn't be subject to court-ordered desegregation plans to maintain segregation. And in truth, it was the victory of the civil rights movement over that first drive for charter schools that really made public education the universal education for everyone in the United States. It's the only service available to people who don't have papers, that whether you are documented or undocumented, you have a right to a public school education all the way through high school in this country. It's our broadest and most important democratic right. And we're seeing that now being challenged, and we're seeing some of the same forces that always opposed integration, always opposed the diverse and multinational, multicultural character of public education, again trying to do what they did in the 1950s, creating charter schools now in the South, in Louisiana, in Florida, in Alabama, in Mississippi, on a segregationist basis. It's the only area of the country in which charter schools are, in their majority, all white schools. And they're being created, combining public funding and private funding to create a separate educational system for many, many, many young white people. And it's just such an irony, and it's such a terrible thing that that area of the country that had made the greatest gains in integration, that surpassed the North in terms of creating schools that were, you know, multicultural and racially integrated and class-wise integrated, socioeconomically integrated, are now retreating back towards segregation and separation and atomization. We just don't see how we can maintain a single America, an America that stands for progress, an America that can reclaim our heritage of prosperity. While that is occurring, we think we must unify again and defend public education as the great egalitarian and democratic gain for this nation that it has been.
Can you talk about Secretary of Education Arne Duncan and the state of Mississippi?
Arne Duncan is somebody who, you know, I think is already proved to the people of Chicago that he was no friend of public education. But what we've seen is in the state of Mississippi in particular, a grassroots movement formed in 1997 to win public state funding for education in Mississippi, and to end the private education and shifting of public money to pay for private education. And it took them 10 years of building, 10 years of demonstrating, 10 years of fighting in the legislature to win that right. That was in 2007. Now they're looking at a situation in which Mississippi is being asked to adopt a set of national standards that include funding charters with public money again. And they have invited Arne Duncan to come down and debate this with them 3 or 4 times this year. And every time he's canceled his visits to Mississippi. And the people of Mississippi are saying he can't come down here because he can't defend his policies in our state in public anywhere. And we're open to debate. We think if there are differences, let's talk them out. We believe that we can win the debate, and certainly those people in Mississippi do, and that's why they've been extending that offer time and time again. Arne Duncan did not even show up as he had promised to when he had people in Mississippi introduce his so-called reforms in the state legislature to motivate them, because he was so scared of the public outrage that would accompany his visit to Mississippi.
Shantha Driver, let's finish with the New York City public schools, which may be of particular interest for folks in D.C. because some feel that the school takeover that occurred with Adrian Fenty and Michelle Rhee, the school chancellor, was maybe modeled after what's happening in New York City with Mayor Michael Bloomberg and school chancellor Joel Klein.
Yeah, I think in New York there's just been a terrible decline in public education, and it's been to have a system that is driven by standardized test scores as being the only thing to evaluate the capacity of a young person to learn in a city that is bilingual in huge parts of it, and in which there's been now a decline in the offering of English as a second language courses. To have that system that is so test-driven there has meant that there have been literally tens of thousands of young people driven out of school altogether. There are public schools that are being closed down because they allegedly didn't make some grade And then they're being sold to charter companies because there's so little space in New York for schools at a dollar or for a very small amount of money. And those charter schools are opposed by those communities. Those communities overwhelmingly support public education. They support their public education teachers. There are teachers that have worked there for 30, 35 years that are being vilified, that are being told that they cannot teach in any public school. There are principals that have been given the authority to fire whoever they want. All of the gains of public education, of academic freedom, of free speech rights for students and teachers, of the right to teach and think according to what your students would need to benefit, all of those rights have been taken back from teachers and from students. And it's just creating educational model that is going to lead to terrible disaster for the nation, because it's driving out students that deserve an education. I'll just say this one last thing about New York, and it's true everywhere. Special needs students are being denied places at these charter schools. They cherry pick the students that they want. They are not, because students don't have due process rights in charter schools. If they get expelled, they have no way to appeal that expulsion. And so even charter schools that have been forced to take some special needs students generally get rid of them in the first month or two through discipline procedures. And those students are just pushed out. They're not being provided with any education. And, you know, I can say just from me personally, I began my fight around public education as a young person in Massachusetts when Boston schools were desegregated, and we had to fight so hard to get integration and to open those schools to special needs students. We had the first law in the nation that made it possible for special needs students to be mainstreamed, students who had been isolated and warehoused forever. And to see all of that turned around, I excuse my emotionality, but it is a crime against the American people, and we should not accept a society in which the color of your skin or your income level or your ability to fit into the mainstream or, you know, your special needs and special gifts are all overlooked, and in which you're forced to adopt to a system in which the best and the brightest of who we are as human beings can't be expressed.
And I have a brother who's paranoid schizophrenic, and I know it costs a tremendous amount more to educate him, but thanks to the work of, you know, what you did in Boston and so many others, he got educated. But the thing that you're saying to me is really the reward system would be for a charter school to get rid of him,
right,
and then take credit for having better test results than
right.
public schools, where my sister and I, we went to public school and we could get better test results than my brother, but sometimes it requires investing a lot of resources in someone who might not test very well.
That's right. And, you know, I think you look at some of the most creative people in this society and you see that, okay, a lot of those people have serious problems of mental illness. And in their moments of brilliance, they are more brilliant than any of us. And in their moments of despair, sometimes they're more desperate than many of us. But that's, you know, it takes that to have progress and to have a system set up where everything is based on the laws of the marketplace, of competition, of every student competing with every other student, every school against every school district against every school district, every state against every state. That's the race for the top Arne Duncan model. It is it's a market-driven model. And the truth of the matter is, we never have made progress in that way. Where there's been human, like great scientific breakthroughs, it's been collective. It's been the work of great minds coming together with a common purpose and a common goal and fighting together for those achievements. Those have been our greatest moments of achievement, always, as human beings. We're social creatures. We need to be collective in order to be the best of who we can be, and to write off so many people is to write off any future, really, for the leadership that we in this nation have been able to give on so many fronts. And it's going to, the cost is going to be felt in every way and in every conceivable area of our lives.
Thanks so much, Shanta Driver.
You're welcome. Thank you.